So I want to talk about two things. One is the trend that I perceive that may not other people may not perceive, the trend to go deeper, for example, to go from dependency tree to abstract meaning representations, and then I'll talk about a shallower alternative. So that's something that we've been working on for aligning Chinese and English tree banks. Okay. So let me just get started with something very basic. So the idea of dependency representation revolves against the concept of head, right? So for example here, so this sentence even is the best dancer. So the root is, and then is the head of even, is the head of dancer, and dancer is the head of best, and dancer is the head of the, and you put this whole thing together, it becomes a tree, okay? so just another example, so the office of the chair, so the root is office is the head of the of, and office is the head of the, and office is the head of chair, and chair is the head of the. Okay, so so there is, so which one is the head is I think is very conventional. So there's some, not everyone necessarily is going to agree that what the head is, okay. And this works very nicely here, but when you get to something like a coordinate structure, you get to some complexities very quickly. So for example here, the desk and the chair is very simple. It can't be any simpler than that. But so people don't really agree what a head is exactly. So some people say the head should be the coordination conjunction. So prague here is big in dependency structure. So if you look at the in the hallway, there's some posters on what a head is, comparing the different kind of dependency structures. So for prague dependency tree bank, the head is the coordination conjunction, and the other things are just these dependents. And for, there's also a Moscow dependency, so it depends on where put the heads are, and there's, people have different names for that. And then there's the, for even for the things that are relatively less controversial, people don't necessarily agree. So for example, that is the head of this, of the subject and the object. As for more recently, so there's the Stanford dependency. So they are starting to apply that to other languages. So this is called this universal Stanford dependency. So here, they try to make the dancer the head of this sentence. Okay, so, and then, so here, I'm just trying to make a comparison. Here's the Stanford dependency, and here's the regular type of dependency, okay. And then, so dancer, you can see that everything comes out of here, except other than the root. So the root is the dancer. Is the head of dancer is the head of best, dancer is the head of the. So far there is no difference here, but dancer is also the head of is. Okay, so the motivation for this is that you try to establish direct links between the content words. So all the function words are considered to be some sort of a nuisance, right? You don't need that, but they are there. You can't really throw it away. So I'm just gonna say that this is really the real predicate, and this whole thing, everything revolves around that. For some purposes, you might just get rid of this thing and still get the meaning. Okay, so it's getting closer to meaning representation. So what a meaning is really between the content words. Is this function words not a part of it. So the crucial difference is that you want a direct link between content words, and they're not mediated by some function words. Okay. And then for this coordination structure, so it's going to be something like this, right? So the relation between content words, so this is what we have seen before. So everything, so this is the header, everything, and so this chair modifies the office, okay? And then this stuff and that still are the dependence of the chair. Okay. So there's one more thing that's different. another the same sentence for another structure. So here, so the desk is, let me see here. Okay, this is the dependence structure. So the desk, there's a direct link between the desk and the chair. Okay. So the function, the coordination conjunction is pushed aside. So it's not a, so from there, we go into abstract meaning representation. So the main thing that I see is that you, instead of keeping those function words, and you just get rid of them, okay? So they are not part of the representation. So all you have is office and chair. So they're capitalized because, so now they can become some sort of abstract concepts. So they are not real words, they're concepts. But the way to get those concepts is really just to kind of get rid of these function words. And in some cases, you want to just map them to abstract meaning. You map them to some abstract relations, right? So for example, where does this come from? This might be something that you infer between this office and chair. So you see this chair modifies this. It may be something that you get this modification because of this function words. So it still plays some role. So, but for practical purposes for now, they just get rid of them, okay?
Or a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Would people agree that cup is the main thing in the cup? Coffee is its modifier, or would they say no? Coffee is the main thing, and cup is just a measure of how much coffee
you're drinking. Yeah, that's a very, I think that's area where people will disagree, I guess.
Even in this setting, even if you forget the.
Yeah, even in that setting, I think people are. It's going to be a disagreement between different annotators. You know, people have different judgments as to, but the general trend is this. But people might not exactly agree on what exactly is the abstract meaning representation for sentences. So that'll be one of the places that that people don't agree on. I tend to think that in that case, maybe copy is not as important for the meaning representation. But I mean, not very necessarily going to agree with that. Okay. So there's another, so for example here, another thing. So they don't necessarily throw away all the function words. For example here, if you have a coordination conjunction and they keep this and, it's like a logical relation, so you keep that. And then they consider this two desks and chair to be some things that are conjoined, you know, logically. Okay. And also, there is another thing that's more of a so for the dependency representations, you always respect the so-called Lexot integrity. Integrity means that you don't analyze the structure of the words. Okay, you just whatever words you have, you keep them. But this is not necessarily true for abstract meaning representation. For example, here, so you just have dancer here, but this dancer becomes a person that is x0 of dance. Okay, so because you have this verb dance here, and you just analyze that into two concepts. Okay, so that's another thing that's different from dependency structures. So here, you get three concepts. So this person whose name is even. So, and then this best becomes most good. Okay, so that's become a lot different. Okay. So it seems like there's a trend. Obviously, I think the technical grammatic layer is very much like AMR because you get rid of some of the surface things and they become relations. Okay. So it seems like there is a trend. So from this standard, the so-called standard, I know I'm not sure there is a standard, but people, you know, have some sort of consensus. To Stanford dependency to AMR, seems like people are moving towards increasingly deeper, more abstract representations. I always have difficulty grasping what deep is. Okay, so I think for me, deep just means more abstract. Okay, it's easier for me to understand that. So why do you want that? Abstract meaning representations is not just for MT, right? So let's make that very clear. But for MT purposes, so what advantages does that have to be a lot more abstract, right? One of the things is that you are getting better alignment. Okay, so that's usually the standard argument for having the abstract meaning representation. So if you look at this, abstract meaning representation is drawing kind of like a dependent structure, but it's really so a way of graphically showing this. And the Chinese one, and these two are exactly the same. So I didn't, I probably don't need two separate dependent structures. It could be the same. Okay, so there is this, this is the word for dance, and this person who is X0 of dance. And the Chinese for most good actually has two words. So one is the best, the most, and the other is good. And then you have the name, so which is just the name in Chinese too. So you kind of have the exact same structure for both English and Chinese. Yeah. So here it's even easier. So office chair. So, and you have this office chair. So it's exactly the same. Okay. And desk and chair. So you have the same kind of structure. Okay. So these are made up. Just very simple. I mean, you can't possibly have those in real data. Okay. But they're for something that's more actually from real data. So you have two sentences. The Chinese, the English sentence is, where is Homer Simpson when you need him? So this is from one of the weblog data set we got. And it's one of the 100 abstract meaning representations that we did for both Chinese and English, also for Czech. If you look at these abstract meaning representation, I don't suppose you can read them, but the way to look at to see if they are aligned is that if everything is in a kind of gray box, so there's nothing that's outside of it. So there's this be located at, and there's this name, Homer Simpson, and so everything is here, and everything's here. So there's nothing dangling there. So everything is aligned within some sort of box, okay. So that's nice, right? But obviously, MR doesn't really get you perfect alignment for all possible cases, right? There are some cases where the two languages are just expressing the same concept a little bit differently. So so for this sentence, and this is a major and their moment, okay? And in Chinese, there has to be some person who is saying this. So there is this, you have to have this verb. So this there has to be a shouting thing, okay? Which is not in this English sentence. So I mean here I guess and for the English you could conceivably posit some abstract thing for the verb, but that's going to be stretching it, right? Because you have to have some basis. You can't just randomly hallucinate stuff, right? So the MRs for the two languages are actually different. So you don't have there are some things that's outside of this for this cry, for example, which you don't have in English, but you have in Chinese. Okay. so there are all sorts of other kinds of misalignments too, but I'm just giving one example. So yeah, sure. Mm.
So the blue part of the English it has this, which is the domain of R0, and then
yes,
the moment is what you're talking about, and
yes,
mm-hmm. The moment is a yes, it's a dough.
Mm-hmm. Major is.
It's a major moment rather than the major dough.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The major. Yeah. The major comes from this thing here, which is not. So this doesn't modify the moment. It modifies the verb, which you can shout loudly or something. So. So it's not exactly aligned to that.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking what major modifies, and in your diagram it modifies moment.
Oh, let me see.
The way I read it, I thought it was a major though as opposed to a
limit. Oh, really? Okay. Okay, so I guess that's inter-annotated disagreement.
Yeah. So, the way I read this, I have the same question. Suppose I said it was a major head spot moment,
uh-huh.
Which is, to me, is a way of going a little bit deeper into what that expression means.
Mm-hmm.
People mm-hmm. can say other things, but to me, that's almost the perfect rephrasing of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean utter, it mm-hmm. require that you build a construction around the head slapping or whatever? Because I'm trying to convert O into an adjectival descriptive phrase that doesn't require importing a new construct.
Yeah.
Denying that this is a very good alignment, but I'm wondering if you really need to go that far.
Creating a concept for this too.
You brought in the concept of butter.
Right.
Because of your interpretation of what thought.
No, it's actually in Chinese. That's what
you don't have that in English. I didn't try to create something like a concept of first shot. Right. Yeah, in Chinese, there's a natural one in the sentence itself. So you don't have to be creating something. It's already there. You can ignore it. Back to that question, like, is this just major modifies, you know, this do, or does it modify this moment? I suppose that's more of a, so you have that kind of thing for syntax too, right? That's more of a ambiguity problem, right? So you can't really, so even though this is, you know, meaning representation, you can't really get away from syntax. The structure is relevant in how to interpret those modification relations. So that's just this very simple, you know, like a progression that I see. That's, you know, the field is moving towards. So here I'm trying to discuss, to think about whether this is a good thing or bad thing for empty purposes, right? So here are the things that I consider. I'm sure there might be some other things that's relevant too. Is that you have deeper representations, you have deeper, more abstract representations. You usually have better alignment. So that's a good thing. That's a plus, right? But it comes at a cost too, because this means the deeper analyzers tend to be less accurate. So this means that if you have a syntax parser versus the AMR parser, most people would bet that the AMR parser is going to be less accurate than the syntax parser, because it involves, you have to predict a lot of the missing element, right? So that's the syntax structure could be your starting point, and you make some more mistakes, then you kind of get your AMR parser. And also, this means because you are getting rid of stuff, right? You're getting rid of things, and for translation purposes, you have to get them back, right? So the other things, for this is not a problem for information extraction or question answering. Maybe there, the generation is kind of let's say trivial. But this, everything that you got to throw away, you have to kind of get it back. So either you get it out of something, it's like things like, that doesn't have any meaning. You just have to generate those. And the other things that are mapped to abstract attributes, and you have to get those back as well. So usually this suggests some sort of like, like architecture like this. You map the source string to maybe or not. I mean, you don't, the source AMR, you may not get there. You can just map that directly to the target AMR, because you could sort of use it as a interlingual representation. And you, from there, you get your target stream, right? So that's the things that, there's the pluses and there's minuses from my point of view, okay? So I'm just gonna talk about an actual project we're trying to do. So we try not to throw away anything. So we just keep the function words, okay? We just don't align them at the word level, okay? And we are assuming that neural network doesn't solve all the problems, right? So maybe the representation is still kind of relevant, okay? So otherwise, if it solves all the problems, then, well, you know, whatever I say here doesn't matter, okay? So it's kind of like, everybody's trying to think deeper. I'm trying to come back a little bit. I feel like that person over there, going, you know, the opposite direction of everybody else, okay? Or like that person. So let me start with some very thing that's very basic again. So let's think about word alignment, okay? So if you have this short word phrase for English and Chinese, you have provide you with an explanation, okay? So the Chinese is, so there is provide, and there's you, and there's explanation, okay? And there's nothing in English for this. So this is like a for, for you providing explanation. So there is no for. So this is not aligned to anything. And there is there isn't a determiner in Chinese. This is well known. A lot of people working on MIT knows this, right? So there is no third thing for width. Okay, so this width is not exactly 4. Okay, so they are kind of different. So how do you align them? So that's generally the aligning for the content words seems to be really straightforward. It's when you align and try to like the function words that are you are getting problems. Okay, so what are the possibilities? Well, usually if you want to, you don't. It feels like it's not satisfying to leave things unaligned. Okay, so then you try to apply everything. So basically, what you do is I think I say the majority practice. Not everybody does this. Is that you try to align them to some sort of a head. Okay, so the head is actually kind of questionable. So it's not always the head, right? Because so for example, the determiners and the Chinese classifiers. So English has determiners and Chinese have classifiers. They don't have this corresponding thing in the other language. Okay, and the auxiliary verbs, tense, absent markers, you know, they attach the main verbs because there we don't have those things in Chinese. Prepositions attached to their NP object. Well, this is should be qualified because depending on whether this preposition has any sort of meaning or not. So, for example, usually doesn't have meaning, so people just attach them somewhere. complementizers attach the matrix verbs, you know, relative pronouns. So here, I'm not even sure that that's the head of the complementizer. So, so their relative pronouns. There's Chinese drop a lot of relative pronouns. You have to attach them somewhere. Okay. There are some other cases like the Chinese comma usually aligned with and. Okay, it's functionally that's kind of true in the context. But if you are tell anybody who speaks Chinese, say this comma is and, so they all say that's ridiculous, right? But in actual translation, that seems to be always to be it's really context dependent. Okay. So Chinese has some sentence final markers, like if you have a question, you have a marker like ma or something to make that a question. You don't have that in English, so they usually align to some punctuation marks. So they are the Chinese the, you know, which is discussed a lot. It's not exactly of, it's not exactly possessive marker, it's all of those things. So they is attached lined with various things. Okay, and also there's some pronouns that are not. If there are more pronouns on one side than the other, you try to link them together, things like that, okay. So when you do all of those things, it seems like if you don't consider any syntax structure, you only have the words, and that's what you have to do, right? Because you have to attach them somewhere, and that's a reasonable place to attach them, okay? So this is what I'm talking about. So when you align the provide, so there's no problem here. And, well, since this doesn't attach anywhere, you kind of attach this U, and these two together becomes U, okay? And this determiner applies attached to the explanation, and this one attached to explanation two, okay, because it's a preposition, okay? So from a linguistic point of view, in a linguistics linguist, consider elegance is to be criteria, desiderata for representation. So it's not very satisfying to put all of those things together at word level, okay? But that may not be a problem, you know, if, you know, it's not a problem for machine translation purposes. I think there's also, I also perceive there's a computational problem, which is that you create a lot of these one-to-many and many-to-many alignments. Again, a lot of them are not even consecutive. So there's a lot of long-distance alignment. So there are also some crucial dependencies that are just cut off. Okay, you create some casual alignments, so thereby increases ambiguity. So this is what I mean. So for example, here, if you do this, so you're automatically saying that this Chinese ni can be you, and it can also be for you, and I'm sure there are a lot of others if you look at real data. Okay, and then for this explanation, so this is really just explanation. But because Chinese doesn't have this determiner, it can be also that, it can be also that, okay? So this is what I mean by creating some really casual ambiguity, which is not really linguistic ambiguity, but it's just there when you do this sort of alignments, okay? So the other part is about severing this lexical dependency. So I think there is a, you know, consider that there is a lexical dependency between provide and with, okay? Because when you use the word provide, you're necessarily going to be use the word with. So it would be nice that you keep this together and when you translate them. So when we learn English as a native second, you know, non-native speaker, we learn this pattern, you know, provide somebody with something, you know, we try to memorize that again and again. So maybe some of those second Chinese speakers who learn the second language English can sympathize with this. Okay, so if you do that sort of alignment, you kind of just cut this dependence off, right? There's no dependence anymore. Okay. So if I magnify this a little bit, so this word apples, the English apple and the Chinese apple, pingguo, is not ambiguous, right? But because of the different possibilities, you're going to have this. This could be an apple, it could be the apple, or it could be of apples, it could be about apples, it could be with apples, right? So you have a lot of this this kind of ambiguity. So so what do we propose to address them is to do some sort of like hierarchical alignments. Okay, so the content words will be aligned as usual, and we try to align those function words in their synthetic context. So we leave the functions where that signal syncing patterns like the so that or semantic attributes unaligned at word level, okay, and migrate the alignment at the first level. Of course, there's a crucial question, which is where exactly do you align them, right? You can apply at the sentence level, you know, that'll be trivial. You achieve nothing. Okay. So here's the word level alignment. Okay, so keep from this, we superimpose the syntax structures on that. Okay, so now we can need to think about so these two MPs align kind of trivially, right? Because that's the Chinese U and English Ni, and so let me just say okay, so. So given this, so we have these trees on both sides, and you will notice that these trees are from the Chinese tree bank, and these trees are from the Pan tree bank, and some of the labels are different. For example, we don't actually have this. So the labels, so this English verb is the VB, and the Chinese is VV, but it doesn't really matter, so it's a verb, okay. So given this word alignment, do you actually get the phrase alignment automatically? The answer is no. You don't get this phrase level alignment automatically. So there is some constraint, though, which is that if a node NC is aligned to another node in English, you know that all the descendants can only be aligned to the descendants of you. That's the, I think, a reasonable assumption that people make. Or vice versa, if the node NC is aligned to some node E, and then the ancestors should be aligned only to the ancestor of E, right? So that kind of seems to be pretty reasonable, okay? And then the other third thing is that you apply non-terminal node only once, okay? So this is summarized in this work. So given that, so we get this alignment automatically. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? So it has to be kind of this aligned. And then we can apply this to trivially because so there's only one word and there's this thing, everything at word level is dominated by this MP. Okay. The third thing we have, so what do we do with this PP here or this MP here, right? So here we have a choice, right? Given this word alignment, the only constraint is really this. So at word level, the explanation is like aligned to the Chinese 解释. And then, so you could align this MP with that MP. You could align this PP with this MP. They all satisfy those constraints. Okay. So then, how do you choose in that case? Right. So, what do people want to align? So, do people have any kind of inclinations of how to align this? If you have to choose between aligning this MP and this versus this and that. What do you align? Or does it matter? Both? You align both? Okay. What we think is that we want to apply one of them. Only apply one of them. So here, remember, there's this constraint. Okay, so non-terminals can be aligned once. So we're gonna obey that. Okay, so that will you cannot align those both if you want to satisfy that constraint. So in order for us to help us to choose, so we need to establish some sort of principles. Okay, some general rules that you apply. So you want to provide enough context for the alignment. So the alignment should not be several crucial dependencies. So we want to make sure that we don't sever any, cut off any crucial dependencies. The other is trying to reduce the casual alignments. Okay, and also the other thing we want to do is, if you don't do that, well, you just line the whole thing. So that's going to satisfy those two. But we also want minimal alignments. So we don't want big alignments, right? So that would means that the only dominate this crucial dependencies and nothing more. Okay. So based on those, we decide to align those two. Okay. The reason is because if you align those two, and if you look at the dependencies here, and then you can still have, so you can extract something like this. So gay, x, t going x, means provide some x with x2. So we want to maintain this dependency here, lexical dependency. So we think that's a good thing for alignment purposes. okay, so how do we actually do this? So we take a portion of the Pantry Chinese Tree Bank. So there's been working on that for some time. That's English translations. That has been also to be manually parsed PDB style and word line. So there are already the Chinese trees. There are also English trees. They are also word aligned. Okay, we take that. And we revise in the word alignments because if we want to coordinate the alignments at the word level with non-terminal level, we need to do some revisions because there are a lot of one-to-many alignments at, because they didn't consider the interaction between those two. So we use a tool developed by IBM. So this is actually work initially that. Initiated by the IBM team. Okay. I'll tell the story a little bit later. Okay. So this is a tool. So you could see that. So the alignment is, so the sentence is everything looked like the first root block. Okay, and that's the Chinese sentence, Chinese words. And so if you look at the alignments, it's kind of very difficult. It's very hard to visualize. So these two. Here, these two word means like. Okay, they're not together. And so this is with. This is like the same or something like that. Okay, so the same as. Okay, so this is a preposition, and that's kind of like the verb. Okay. So these two things is aligned to like. Okay, and this is looked. So this is good. And so this one thing, this is first, and there's a classifier in Chinese, which you do not have in English. So this two align to that. And this is the root block. It's aligned to the root block. So there's something in between. Okay. So the way I say it, this is very difficult to automatically reproduce. Right. So all these run-to-many alignments and all the, they are not discontinuous. It's not very clear to me how you can even do that. Okay. So what we do is that we got rid of all of those one-to-many alignments. So this everything is going to be this, and look is the other. So this part is fine. We just line this. This is the first. Okay. But leave this classifier unaligned. The other thing that we didn't align is this width. So this is not exactly the same as like, so we don't like that either. and instead, we're going to apply align this NP, which is the first root block, okay, to this the first root block. Okay, so from there, you can sort of infer the alignment of the function words. Okay. The second thing we align is this entire thing, obviously. Okay. So there are some others too, like the Chinese bar construction. So a lot of people who know the bar construction is famous, very famous among the linguists. There are different, so some people say this is a preposition, but there are different analyses. People think this is a light verb. So already, if you want to align that as a word, at the word level, you have to attach that to this thing. This is not a, it's kind of questionable linguistically. But in any case, so this is what you do if you don't have the syntax structures, so that you just align that to this. And so this it becomes this, and you have this thing here. This is held in its way. So this is a many-to-many alignment because these words don't actually correspond, right? So so you align this whole thing to that. So so what we do is that we took this, some of these one-to-many alignments away and align them at the first level. So so impressionistically, you can just look at the comparison between the word alignments here and here. Yeah. So we just clean up the word alignment a little bit and move them instead to the first level. Yeah, so that's basically what we do. Okay. Here's another example. so how did that happen? So you align that did, you attach did to happen, and together align to happen. Okay. So they kind of not they are not together. Okay. But you have to align them that way. So instead we do this. Okay. So we just leave this unaligned. Okay. All right, so one obvious question, of course, is that if you when you do this sort of thing, right, so you better sure to make sure that the trees are actually aligned, alignable. Okay? So there is a lot of discussions of this in the MIT literature. People have worked on it and pointed out problems of aligning the trees on both sides. So, but if you, yes, they're not always alignable. Okay? but if you analyze the different kinds of incompatibilities, there are three kinds that we see. One is that there are real incompatibilities between the lexosemantics. Well, not between, but in the lexosemantic differences between the two languages. Right? So there, you really, there's nothing else you can do. Unless, so there are others that are caused by translation-related reasons. So there are multiple ways of translating the same sentence. You can either choose to translate it literally or translate it in a very idiomatic manner where you can align them. Okay? And the third kind is actually is caused by the bracketing annotation, right? Because the Chinese tree bank, English tree bank, although they are all called the pin series of tree banks, right? So the Chinese tree bank follows the English the pin tree bank, but there are still differences. So just some very rough quantitative assessment is that most of them belongs to this third category. So most of them become because you got those because the different ways we decided to annotate things. Okay. And this last one we can do something about, right? So we can actually try to change the trees, right? so let me just show you some the different kinds. So this one, the Chinese is as long as everybody justly acts, okay? English is so long as no one has a finger on the scale. Well, that's, you know, there is much you can do about it. So it's just translated in a very idiomatic manner. Okay? You can really kind of only align the whole thing. Okay? But there is a general pattern that I'm familiar with, is that when we annotate the Chinese tree bank, we try to be, we try to make the distinction between the modifiers and the complements. Okay, so what is a modifier? So this is a modifier. So adverbial phrase modifies this word phrase. So this is considered to be adjunct. And this NP usually is the object or is more like a complement. It's closer to the verb. Okay. When we annotate the Chinese tree bank, we decided to have them at two different levels. Okay. So we put this complement as one level and this adjunct another level. We try to make this complement adjunct distinction. Okay. So as a result of this, we created some misalignments. Okay. If you want to align the trees here, so here is an example. Here, this is reopened the budget talks. So the body talks is like the complement. It's closer to the verb reopened. And this last week is more or less like a temporal adjunct. It's before the verb in Chinese. So the crucial thing is that we, instead of putting all of this on the same level, we kind of, as this verb, we create another repeat node and put it on a different level. Okay. So now we have a problem. So we can't align, we can still align this whole VP, but you can't align this VP because there isn't a node that corresponds to just reopen the budget. Okay. So you can see there's just two sisters, and this thing here is outside of it. Okay. So, but there isn't anything that's really linguistically against redrawing the tree and see creating some sort of like another level here, right? So, so that's something you can do. You can just redraw these trees and systematically re-examining the trees in a pin tree bank. In some cases, the other way, around. So there is less structure on the Chinese side too. So, and the other question is, well, can you do this sort of thing relatively quickly and consistently? So analytics with no prior linguist training can perform this kind of alignment with good consistency. So although you have to look at the trees, but if you just do the alignment without changing the trees, this seems like you don't really have to have like a PhD in linguistics or something. Okay, you can just, people with good understanding of those two languages can do this rote alignment. The other thing is that, but if you want to change the trees, well, that you really need some people who can actually know some linguistics. Okay, we haven't done that part because we want to see what kind of differences are there before we want to do that. If you want to do that, you better do it systematically. We can't really just say, oh, here I need an extra node, I just add one to it, right? Because that way you're going to have a problem with when you train the parsers. So far we have done the double annotation of 10,000 sentence pairs. so we are currently running up the guidelines, et cetera. So how do you actually, just to give you some more examples of how you use them, it's what kind of rules you can extract if you have this sort of alignment, okay? So for passive constructions, you can get things like in the Chinese, you have, if the Chinese is not passive, English is passive, you're gonna get something like this is prohibit, okay? Prohibit, can prohibit, you know, X1 and X2, and it's gonna be X1 is prohibited from X2. So that's, you capture some sort of long distance dependency, okay? So there is some bar construction. So you can have something like bar X, you know, Dingwei Feifa Yinsu. Okay, in English it's really simple, just outlaw X. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. Okay. And the connectives. So you might have something like this, Jiang X1, Jiang X2, which means will X1 so that X2. So the point is that when you have a connective, you kind of have to have both sides. Okay, so that's the dependency it's trying to capture. For conjunctions, so commas are often aligned to and. This is really just works only, the comma is really very, very ambiguous in Chinese and really only works in this context where you have some sort of a conjunction. If you don't recognize the conjunction, you can't really just say this comma is and. So we are trying to provide the synthetic context for that. Okay. For questions, you might have something like this. So you don't reorder things for questions in Chinese. So you can have X1, Y, not X2. And then in English, you just have Y don't X1, X2. So you capture the syntax, the class level kind of dependencies. Okay. Another one. Then why do X, Y? So not X, which, Y, and S, right? So you capture this kind of patterns. So the negation. Negation can be a little tricky, right? So when you when you have a negation, the English put the negation on think when it's actually trying to negate in need. That's a very common pattern, right? So that's where you have a lot of things in between for this to actually work. Okay. So this is basically a summary of what we do. So we basically, we strategically select non-terminal pairs to align. So we don't align all of them. We align them based on some what we think are plausible rules or principles. So when you do this, you effectively create a hierarchical partition for each sentence. So instead of partitioning sentences linearly, you kind of partition them hierarchically, right? So we harmonize the word alignment and node alignment. So we obey the constraints, the interactions between the word alignment and node alignments. Okay. So the content words are generally not aligned at word level, and the function words are generally aligned that with the alignment at non-terminal nodes, but this is not always true. There are some other content words, so-called content words, that you have to align at the non-terminal level. And the other thing we do is we synchronize the parallel parse trees. So we try to, well, this part we haven't done yet, but I think this is, for this to be useful, this is important too. Okay. So if we come back and think about the question that whether you want more abstract conversations versus have something more like direct transfer. Okay. So the case for it is that the advantage is that you don't need a separate generation step, right? So that means that more steps generally means more mistakes, right? More chances for making mistakes. Okay. So that's a plus. And maybe this can be readily exploited by the existing statistical techniques. Maybe you can use this to do some sort of supervised synchronous parsing or something like that along those lines. But of course, if you don't do this, well, the old argument between the interlingual approach and transfer merge applies here, which is that you have to do this for each language pair, which is not good, right? Because AMR, you might just do that for English, and you map the source language directly to the AMR and do the generation. So this does not work that way. And you may not even work for some language pairs. So we just look at the Chinese and English. Maybe for the polysynthetic languages or something, maybe that's more difficult to do. So we really haven't thought too much about it. So there's a familiar trade-off between the depth representation. So if you have a deeper representation, you have better alignments versus the presence and difficulty. Okay. So maybe this is a possible alternative to as a reasoning for MT as well. Okay. So finally, I'll just say that it's Li Bingxin who first kind of started this project when he was at IBM. He has since moved 5 different companies. So he's no longer there. He's in China. The tool support is provided by the IBM multilingual NLP group. So it is funded by the DARPA bus, the IBM. So that's all.
I very much appreciate the pointing out that function words are important, but I'm wondering if there's a different conclusion that one can draw from your original diagnosis. Your conclusion was, well, representations like AMR throw all this stuff out, and it turns out we need it, so we should bring it back at a shallower level.
Right.
But wouldn't a different conclusion be that that's actually a way in which the style of representation is just quite incomplete, and you actually need much, you need to actually give a semantics for the function words if you want a real deep representation?
Yes. So I think the part about generation is still true, right? If you do that, you still have to do the generation. So I think at this point, none of us have any empirical results to back us our, we're just speculating here, right? So it's more like,
I can definitely believe that it might be easier to do this at the shop.
Yeah. So we're trying to just hypothesize and we try to think about the different factors, what you want to use. But yes, I think AMR is still evolving. I mean, it's not a final thing. I can't definitively say that AMR is throwing over this function words. This is bad, right? But it's actually, it's just at the first version, it's just throw away some of the determiners and so forth. It's not too difficult to imagine that they're going to put some feature saying this is, this is tense, this is whatever, right? So they're probably going to do that. But still, if you have that, so for my empty purposes, the way I see it is that you make something, change something to more abstract concept. You get it back, the word. So it's kind of round trip to getting the same thing, right? For some cases, okay. For that particular kind of the features, right? If you turn something like a tense marker in the feature, you get it back as the actual tense. So I'm not sure exactly what you got from that. Right? But for other kind of tasks, it's obviously different, right? Because when you extract information, we usually think of them as abstract relations, right? We don't extract some actual words for them.
Yeah, I was wondering, even without the dotted lines, it's okay. I was wondering how different the discussion would be if you had these, I guess you called them universal Stanford dependencies or something.
Right.
If you had that on both sides, would we still be talking about the next few slides you had, or you think that kind of analytic structure on the two sides will make those questions go away?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So I started out with talking about dependency structures and I switched to use the constituent structures. Essentially, I think there isn't much, I think the questions will be still the same. The difference is going to be that the dependency structures is, if you draw that hierarchically, it's going to be a little shallower, right? So there's going to be larger, so let's say that the subjects and objects, they are attached to the same verb at the same level. So when you want to do some alignment at verb level, verb VP level, you cannot do that exactly, right? Without making some modifications. So for aligning purposes, the deeper the structure, the better, because that way you can choose which ones you align. The opposite is difficult, right? The opposite is if you don't have a structure and you align them, then that's more difficult to do. But if you have that, so if there's a deeper representation. You can always ignore it. Okay.